Dear Lord, once more for one final time, we come before you as congregation in 2018. The year is winding down. Soon most of us will reflect on what was past. And no doubt there will be many mixed emotions. Some feelings of regret over things both done and left undone. Regret over things that could have been handled differently, maybe better. Some feelings of sadness as we miss old friends and family members that are no longer with us. Our thoughts this morning especially go to Willie Tiemens and her family, to Ada Vermeulen's family. Lord, things that we had hoped for and that did not materialize, and things that happened which we had not counted on, all these things and many more will cross our minds and move our hearts. And we all have memories that at times overwhelm us, especially this last Sunday and tomorrow, the last day of the year. There will also be memories of good things, birthdays, anniversaries, prayers that were answered, events that surprised us with your goodness in the land of the living. And as congregation, we will recall times of prayer and struggle to discern your will for us. And again, we will wonder about the future, the path that lies before us, and covet your leading, even as we are grateful for all the time and talent that is spent in your cause in this congregation. But Lord, through it all, we could rely on your gracious promise, I am with you. And each week again, we could hear the faithful proclamation of your word and be served by the faithful labors of elders and deacons, pastors, and a myriad of volunteers in coffee break, in preparing overheads, working on the sound system, decorating the auditorium, reaching out into the community and devising wonderful ways to set up new programs. We thank you for people who took care of finances and our building facilities, Sunday school teachers, committee members, all the people who give time and talents to you and to us, Lord. Bless them all. And we thank you that in your goodness you create a family of faith bound together in the love of Christ, a family that can also, when it is necessary, forgive one another, as you have first forgiven us. What a luxury, Lord. And we know it so well as we look around ourselves and look back this last Sunday of the year and reflect on the world around us, where there is so much that isn't the way it should be. The very definition of sin. Things that are not what they ought to be. We think of fellow Christians persecuted for their faith. Lord, it does not seem to get any better. We pray for their encouragement, for their steadfastness. May they be an example to us and to those around them, even their persecutors. Lord, we see hunger and disaster, war and a planet increasingly affected by greed and neglect. We see people displaced and needs that are unmet through the unwillingness of those more interested in profit than in their neighbor. Lord of all, we pray, make us instruments of healing and peace, a signpost to your coming kingdom, proclaiming your goodness and grace, your call to repentance and renewal to our world. Bless those who seek righteousness and justice in our world. We pray for wisdom for those who rule and who are to rule also again in an upcoming year. We pray for guidance and wisdom for our Canadian government, our Prime Minister, for all who will affect the lives of others for good or ill. We ask, Father, bless the ongoing work of the spreading of your word, mission, evangelism in word and deed, and be with us this morning as again we may listen to your proclaimed word one last time. May it comfort us, strengthen us, and guide us in your service. We ask it in humility, in Jesus' name. Amen. This last Sunday of the year, I chose as our passage and text words from Exodus 17. And we'll start reading at verse 8. Exodus 17, verse 8. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. This story takes place during Israel's journey from Egypt to Sinai. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites would be the ones winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat down on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So, in this way, Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this down on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against Amalek from generation to generation." We'll focus especially on verses 15 and 16, where Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord." Dear people of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what really a dramatic story we just read from the book of Exodus. Amalek attacking Israel in the desert as they are on their way to meet the Lord at Mount Sinai. And attacking them, not in a very nice way. It's not a frontal attack, it's a sneak attack. They kind of creep up on Israel, attacking their rear guard at a place called Rephidim. The backstory is fairly easy to piece together. The Amalekites controlled the oases and the wells close to that place called Rephidim, and they did not allow the children of Israel to have access to that water. So they had no water to drink. Opening verse of our chapter, they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water to be had, no water for the people to drink. And then when they're tired and thirsty, Amalek strikes. And it is described even more vividly in Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 18, where it says, "When you were weary, worn out, they," Amalek, "met you on your journey and cut off all those who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God." Somebody who doesn't believe might say they had no sense of decency. Amalek goes for the old folks, the sick ones, the ones lagging behind, the women and children, the vulnerable ones. And you can see this episode as an attack which seeks to prevent God's people from reaching Mount Sinai, from covenanting with their God. An attack, the very existence, being of the nation. An attack on the promises of God. A cowardly attack, targeting the vulnerable. A sneak attack. I prefer to think of it as a snake attack by the old serpent, the devil. And Moses, of course, has to undertake a counterattack. Joshua, the general of his troops, mentioned for the first time here in the Bible. Moses himself climbs up on a hill and he wants to be seen to be visibly praying for a favorable outcome. And his staff, a sign of his authority. Verse 9 even calls it the staff of God lifted to the heavens, reminding God of his own promises. Because wasn't this the staff that turned into a snake before Pharaoh? Wasn't this the staff with which he parted the Red Sea so that Israel could exit Egypt? The lifted up staff is a reminder to God of his faithfulness. That same God who so strongly showed himself in the past will have to come through once more for his people. Moses pleading with God on the mountaintop. And the communal nature of the prayer and of a believing looking to God is underscored through the help of Aaron and Hur. It's no coincidence that later the name of this place is called Rephidim. You know what Rephidim means? Of course you don't, it's Hebrew. But it means support. Support, that's the meaning of the word. With the support of Aaron and Hur, a battle fought in the desert is decided on a hilltop. Moses remains with his supported arms, his staff raised until sundown, and in that fashion, so Joshua defeats Amalek. And then the Lord wants Moses to write these things down, to make it a memorial, a reminder of his faithfulness. And then Moses also does something else. We don't read really that God commanded this, but Moses also builds an altar to the Lord. And an altar is a sign of devotion and gratitude, a reminder of God's, to God's people, of God's mighty acts. And the name of the altar underscores that. The Lord is my banner. That's the name of the altar. Moses does it on behalf of the people. The Lord protects us. The Lord saves us. A reminder and a confession of faith. Now, you and I, we don't build altars anymore. But do we in our lives ever think as intently and intentionally as Moses did of what God has done in our lives? Do we ever pause to remember? Because you certainly can learn one thing from the old Israel, and that is that it is much easier to grumble or complain or make a list of things you don't like than it is to sincerely recall and praise God for what he has done. In my life, in the life of his church, the life of his people. Sometimes with shame, I can pull myself up short when I realize that I'm much quicker to pray for help than to thank God for answered prayer. You know, we may enjoy God's help and care two times. First, the moment that we experience that help and that care, and then also in the remembering, the remembrance of that help and care, the recalling. God is praised through that, and he wants to be remembered. That people can say, looking back over a past year, today and tomorrow night, Lord, you indeed have been our dwelling place. That we can remember prayer sent up and graciously answered. That we can remember anniversaries celebrated, confessions made, God's word proclaimed, his promise and his grace held out to us every day, week after week, God's bending down to us in language we could understand, God bending down to us in the sacraments. We may recall God was there for me when things went well, and especially God was there for me when things seemed not to work at all, when things seemed to crumble around me. There will be people today and tomorrow who will recall with a good deal of emotion how they really needed God's help when a loved one died. People who experienced God's nearness in a difficult and dark circumstance in their family or their work or their struggle just to be a Christian, just to live another day in a difficult world. We may remember too that God was there when, as congregation, we struggled with our identity and our future. God was there. Moses' altar is a confession. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is on our side. Because has he not proven it in the past? He has not and he will not forsake us. For, Moses adds, hands were lifted up to the throne of God. Israel, as it were, put its hands in the hand of God. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? But can you just come up to God and put your hands in his? Can people approach the throne of God just like that? But I tell you, whoever prays like Moses did places their hands on the throne of God. And that staff that Moses held was not a magic wand. It was a reminder to God of his own faithfulness, his own mighty deeds of deliverance. Moses appealed to God's own faithfulness. And every person who reminds God of his own work puts his or her hand on the throne. Where do you have your hands? Do we only put them in the hands of other people? Or maybe some folks like to go through life wringing their hands. Or maybe let them fall into their lap in a powerless gesture with a sigh. Some people like to make fists with their hands. Use them to strike out at others. So many possibilities. But Moses has learned a lesson from the victory of God's people over Amalek. And passes it along to Israel and to us. He says to us this morning, place your hand on the throne of God. And the gospel this year's end, this New Year's Eve, is that that is not only allowed, but that it is even demanded. Maybe there are some folks who think their hands are just too dirty to place them on God's throne. That's understandable. Also, in view of the past year, hands are a symbol of our hearts. And whose heart is pure and clean? Who dares to say this year's end that he or she can freely approach the throne of God? So it's my lovely, lovely task this morning to remind you that seated on that throne, at the right hand of the Father is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain. And for his sake, we not only can, we must freely come. Because of him there is free access to the throne of grace. And in him we see the fullness of God's mighty deeds, of God's faithfulness. And in him you and I may remind God every day of his promise. If you did not spare your own son, but gave him up for us all, will you not also give me all things necessary for living and dying always? Through him who himself erected an altar, a sign in the midst of the congregation, and on that altar you may read the written words, remember and believe. All your sins are forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. God in Christ has finally, totally defeated all his and your enemies, and you may freely come to him. Stronger than that, you must come. Place your hand in his. And when you remember and believe, God is praised. God is praised. And he offers his faithfulness, his nearness, every step of the way, for he offers himself. And if you have experienced that faithfulness in the past year, you may come to him now in the assurance that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Your hand on God's throne. That's the way to finish strong in 2018 and to enter without fear, with hope and joy, 2019. Remembering and believing. Though swift time keeps marching onward, it will not decide our end. You will always be our Father, loving God, eternal friend. When life's dangers overwhelm us, you will ever be our stay. Through your Son, you are our Father, always changeless, come what may. For from sin your mercy drew us. Would not leave our souls alone. Gracious God, you did renew us. In Christ's death, we are your own. Remember and believe and place your hand in his. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that in your mercy, every short step along the way now becomes a path to guide us to the land of endless day. Hallelujah. Amen.